First of all, I want to welcome all of the young men and women who are here because they've been doing their confirmation retreat and they're finishing their retreat. So welcome this evening to the quiet mass of the 4:15 mass. I love this mass. This is quiet and it gives you time to reflect and it's just nice. Today, I want to spend time with you because it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. I don't know why I have Lent on my mind. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent, and it is the final Sunday before the celebration of Christmas. I'm sure you kind of know this, but maybe you don't, that Advent has four Sundays. And it is the beginning of what's called the liturgical year. Now, a lot of what I'm going to say also, I want to say specifically to the young people who are here. Some of us older people know that stuff, but it's always one of the hardest things, not hard, but most challenging things that I have to do is that whenever I preach or talk to a group of people, there's all kind of people at different levels. And so if I just, you know, reach for those of us who have been Catholic for a long time and know everything, then I leave the younger people who don't know a lot of this stuff behind. So I have to do a blend of all of that. But anyway, since we have a good number of young people with us tonight, I want to spend some time talking about fourth Sunday of Lent and Advent. And also, if you notice today, the reading of the Gospel was all about the Blessed Mother. And so I want to spend some time talking about the Catholic understanding of Mary, the Blessed Mother of Jesus, and why in the Catholic tradition we honor her so much. We honor her to the point, sometimes I think, you know, it can be, it's a question of degree. I think sometimes people can go overboard, but a lot of times we live in a part of the country that is very heavily Baptist and other Protestant denominations, but heavily Baptist, or what are these called is non-denominational Christians, which I always find, by the way, I always find that very interesting, because the word non-denominational means no name. Non is no, and denomen is name. So when you say which Christian tradition do you belong to, they basically are saying, I belong to the no-name tradition. So I guess that is your name, no name. So, but we live in that area of the country. And in that area of the country, a lot of times we Catholics get criticized because we, and I'm sure if you're a Catholic, you've heard this before, y'all pray to the Blessed Mother. Y'all kneel before statues, and y'all have graven images. And that is so much hogwash. It's pathetic. So I want to give you a little bit of background of how to deal with this, and then focus on the Blessed Mother towards the end of my comments. First of all, the question is always this: why don't you just pray straight to Jesus? And why do you have to go through the Blessed Mother? Or why do you pray to some of the saints? Well, let me start from the ground up. The word pray does not mean worship. There's a very big difference. The word pray means to ask with intensity. To ask with intensity. So, for example, If you're watching a movie, say a movie that is showing you a scene of the Middle Ages during Shakespeare's time or something like that, you may hear a character say to another character in the movie, "I pray thee, come with me right away. I pray thee, hurry." Notice the word pray. It doesn't mean I worship you. It means I'm asking you with intensity. Okay? And so when we pray to the saints, we're not worshiping them. We are asking for their support using a word that means intensity, an intense request. Now, the question then may come, well, why do you even have to do that? Why don't you just pray to Jesus? You can, of course, you may. But Jesus wants us to help each other. See, do you remember what Jesus' he said, "I give you a new commandment." What was the new commandment? The new commandment of Jesus is love one another, bear each other's burdens, help each other, love one another. That's his first, the new commandment that he gives us. Now, can I and should I pray straight to the Lord? Of course you can. But the Lord wants, He's not jealous. He's not jealous in the sense of if you go to anybody else, you're ignoring me. Let me give you an example. When you see a mom or a dad and you praise their kids, how do you think that makes the mom or dad feel when you praise their kids? They go, "Oh, I did that, okay?" God is delighted. He's delighted when we help each other. Haven't you ever seen when your kids are helping each other? You go, "Wow, look at that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful." And that's how God does it. He sees us helping each other and praying for each other, and he goes, "That's wonderful." Why? Because God knows that all of the light that we are sharing with each other comes from him. Hey, but what it is, see, we forget this. Let me give you an example that has made good sense to me. I want you to imagine that God is a light, a physical light, right here. And I want you to imagine this whole place is dark, and there is one light, an intense, almost laser-like light, coming from the top of the church and go, whoosh, right down to the center. Okay? Now, the rest of the church is dark. That is the only light. Correct? Correct. Now, what happens if you want more light? Well, there's only one light. But what can you do to have more light? You use a mirror. What happens when you use a mirror? Let me imagine if I take a mirror and I go right under the laser or the light and I tilt it like that. All of a sudden, that light hits the mirror and goes, shoots off over there. Now, what if I have somebody over there with another mirror going this way? The mirror shoots, hits this one, and then I can have mirrors all over this place. And that light can be going all over the place. Right? Does a mirror have any light of its own? None. But what happens? The mirror multiplies the light. The light does not belong to the mirror. What happened? What does it take for a mirror to work? A mirror has no light of its own. In order to be able to reflect light, it has to be turned towards the source, and it has to be clean. Okay? Every single one of us is a mirror. We have no light of our own. None. The light that we have is the reflection of God's light towards us as mirrors. And we reflect that light to each other. That's what we're doing. That's what the church is. It's when we love, that's why Jesus said, love one another. He's basically saying, make sure that your light is reflected, my light is reflected in your mirror towards you. And that is the love that we have for one another. There is no other love other than it comes from God. And so you have no love of your own. You are reflecting God's love for other people. That's why whenever I turn to you and I say to you, please pray for me. You know all I'm doing? Why don't you turn your mirror a little bit towards me and reflect some of God's light coming to you, to me. I need a little more light in my life. And I know that you are reflecting it towards me. Now, is there anything to be upset about that? Of course not. Of course not. I can ask any of you to pray for me. Okay? That's why, you know, I say periodically when I hear that objection, I go, wait a minute, can I ask you, can I say to you, please pray for me? And even the most hardened Protestant says, of course you can. I say, okay. So let me ask you now, if you died tonight, which I hope doesn't happen, but if you died tonight and you were in heaven, is it still okay for me to ask you to pray for me? Now that you're with God? If it was okay for me to ask you to pray for me while you were here, does it make sense that it's okay for me to ask you to pray for me? And of course. And that's why every Christian has the ability to approach any other Christian here on this earth or in heaven. You can go to any saint in heaven and ask them to pray for you. And all you're saying is, would you turn your mirror a little bit towards me? Just turn your mirror a little bit towards me so we can share the light of God. That's what you're doing, okay? So when people, and by the way, whenever they say, well, we kneel before statues, oh, for God's sake. You know, I hear that so much. If you're home, let me give you an example. If you're home and your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband, wife, or your son, daughter is far away and in a dangerous place maybe, let's play, and you're sitting in your couch and right next to you, you have a picture of your daughter or your son or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and you pick that picture up and you look at him, and you go, I love you. And you kiss the picture. Is there any danger that you're actually loving the picture? No. What's the picture doing? It's just reminding you of the reality of the person. That's all that's happening. Is there any danger that you are worshiping the picture as if you had confused the picture from for your son or your boyfriend or girlfriend? No. But, oh my goodness, when you turn that picture into a statue, all of a sudden, oh, it's an idol. No, it isn't. It's a picture. It's a 3D picture. You know, get over it. Okay? What happens is, in many Protestant situations, what happens is they make Christianity so narrow all that you could do is just this little slice. And if you're outside of that little slice, you're pagan. No, it isn't. God is much broader than that. And we have to be able to see the beauty of the way that God is honored when his children love one another. Let us remember that, okay? Remember that. When you see, when you see people helping each other, and God sees it, he's not up there saying, get away, I'm their only help. No, he's saying, oh, good. They're loving each other. They're helping each other. It's the way it should be. Now, the Blessed Mother. So what's this whole big deal about Mary and the Blessed Mother in the Catholic Church? Simple. Go back to the idea of the mirror. What quality does a mirror need to have in order to reflect light? Two qualities. One, it has to be angled properly. And two, it has to be clean. You can be angled properly, but if your mirror is full of dirt, you're not going to reflect. Okay. Now, the angled is the attitude towards God. And the cleanliness is the emptiness of sin. You don't have any stain. Who is the most angled towards God and clean of all sin? Which saint, human saint? Mary. Mary is the most clean of all, and she's angled towards God. So it's reason that she is has the most intense reflection of the light of God towards us. And Jesus made her, on the day of his crucifixion, our mother, when he said to John, behold your mother, woman, behold your son. She was saying, as a disciple, we are also disciples. She is the mother of all of the disciples. Now, you can say, well, wait a minute. That's the church invented that. Yes, we did. But remember, the church is the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now notice I said the church, because there is no opposition between the church and the Bible. You know, let me give you this example. Imagine that you were to take a time machine and you could go back to the year, let's say, how about 10 years after Jesus died? Say the year 43, okay? And you were there in your time machine and you want to go to church and you want to get together with Christians and you go up to say, you ask somebody, hey, where's the Christian community? They're going to say to you, what? What is that? What's a Christian community? They didn't call them that. That word was not invented yet. It was invented close to 80 or 90 after Jesus. They called themselves the followers of the way. The way. That's what the early Christians called themselves. And then you can say, well, tell me where they believe in the Bible. And they would turn to you and say, what's that? What's the Bible? The Bible didn't exist. It didn't exist. Some of the books of the Old Testament existed individually. They were not collected into a Bible. You might say, well, show me the book of Isaiah. Oh, the scrolls of Isaiah. Then he could open up the scrolls of Isaiah. And then you can say, well, wait a minute. What about the New Testament? Show me some of the New Testament, some of the letters of Paul. What? The Gospels hadn't been written. Who wrote the Gospels? The church did. The church wrote the Gospels. The church exists before the Bible. Because the Bible, especially in the New Testament is the writings of members of the church. That's what the Bible, the New Testament, is. And then you can say, well, what about Paul's letter to the Corinthians? They would say, who's Paul? Now notice, all of these are Christians. these are Christians. And they would say, who's Paul? And who's this, what's this letter that you're talking about? The letter hadn't been written. But notice, there are Christians before the Gospels are written down. There are Christians before the letters of St. Paul are written. And so that tells you that the church, the Christ, the followers of Jesus, the church exists before the Bible. And as they begin to write letters to each other, and they begin to collect them into a book, they call that book the Bible. And by the way, do you know where the word Bible comes from? The word Bible comes from the name of a city. A city, the name of the city was Byblos. And you know why? Because in Byblos was a city that they produced papyrus, which was ancient paper. And they would produce lots of papyrus made from reeds of plants, and a collection of those sheets was called a bibelos, which is where we get the word Bible. It comes from the word bibelos, Bible, Bible. Okay? And that's what it's called. Now, let me get to Mary in this last part of the homily. So why is Mary? You mean in the Bible. Is Mary honored in the Bible? You better believe Mary is honored in the Bible. Let's just go through the gospel today very quickly. Look what the gospel today says. Okay. That's yesterday. Okay. By the way, if you ever see me with this, I'm not playing games. This is where my Bible is. Okay? So it's an electronic age, so get over it. Now listen to the gospel. Here's the gospel. And watch who's the gospel about. Now granted, I always want you to remember, Mary has no light of her own. Mary only has the light that she reflects from God. But notice, they don't say, we're not going to honor Mary. We honor her. We don't worship her. We honor her because she is a good reflection. So listen to this. Mary sets out to the hill country in haste in a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. That's her cousin. Okay? Now, listen to the next sentence. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. Now notice, it is the voice of Mary entering Elizabeth's ear. Now, the voice, the reason why the child leaps in her womb is because Mary's voice reflects what's in her womb. That's why the child leaps. But it's Mary's voice reflecting the presence of Jesus, doing what she always does. Elizabeth then, filled with the Holy Spirit, cries out in a loud voice and says, now listen to this, blessed are you among women. Ooh, she's already being called blessed. Already she is being called blessed. It's not just, you know, we're not going to talk about how wonderful you are. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why? Because that's what makes her blessed, that she is reflecting what's in her womb. And then this next sentence really interesting. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Notice, doesn't she say, she doesn't say, and how does it happen to me that the baby in your womb came to me? She doesn't say that. She says, how does it happen that the mother, Elizabeth, is honored by Jesus' mother coming to see her? Why is it an honor? Because she is the mother of my Lord. Notice the reflection. There is never any issue with Mary that is not linked directly to Jesus. She is honored because the mother of my Lord. That's what gives Mary honor. And then, for the moment that your voice, your greeting, notice the voice of Mary. It wasn't a telepathic communication from Jesus. The voice of Mary reached my ears. Why the voice of Mary? Because even her voice is reflecting what's in her womb. Reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Notice that the light of Christ is mediated through Mary's voice to Elizabeth's ear to John the Baptist. Do you notice the mirrors? Jesus, light to Mary's voice, light to Elizabeth's ear, light to John in the womb. Okay, mirrors going along. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. What was spoken to you, blessed are you. Now, one last thing. Do you remember when in the Gospels, when Jesus is told by the crowd, your mother is here to see you. Your mother is outside with your brethren, your cousins are here to see you. And Jesus turns and he says, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? Now, what's he saying? Is he downing Mary? No. And the other time, I'll just explain it to you in a minute. The other time when somebody says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that gave you nourish. And Jesus says, blessed rather is he who hears the voice of the Lord and keeps it. Now, is Jesus saying no to Mary? Not at all. You know what he's doing? The person who says what I said second, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you, that person is reducing Mary to her physical mood. And Jesus is actually saying, she did that, but her real glory, she listened to the word of God and followed it. That's what Elizabeth just said. Blessed are you who believed what the Lord had said to you. Jesus is saying, my mother is great and wonderful, not because she's physically my mother, but because she is the first to listen closely to the voice of the Lord. She was the first disciple. And so as we finish this last Sunday of Lent, just remember, God works in your life through all kinds of mirrors. He reflects light into you all kind of ways. And yes, sometimes you do need to go straight to the source, but don't let it blind you to the whole, to the way that that source is shining in the lights and the reflections that are around you in your daily life.